Welcome to Life Church. We are an Acts 2:42 church, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you're ready to hear from God through His Word and His Spirit.
Hey, good morning, guys. Before we start our teaching, let's just take a moment to invite Holy Spirit to come and speak to us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would make yourself known to us. We ask that you would open our eyes to help us to see you clearly, that you'd help us to hear your voice clearly, that you'd help us to respond to you appropriately. We want you to work in us, and we want you to work through us. Amen. Before we continue our teaching on the person and work of the Holy Spirit, I thought there was something that someone needed to hear this morning, and it's this: you are not MacGyver. There was a TV show called MacGyver where, I think he was a physicist, where he'd find himself in a sticky situation every episode, and he was a physicist, I think, and he would manage to get himself out of these sticky situations, whether he was locked in prison or he was trying to defuse a nuclear bomb. He just happened to have a coin and a cotton bud and some chewing gum, and somehow he'd be able to fashion something together to get himself out of the situation he was in. But the word is, you are not MacGyver. What you need is supernatural wisdom, and that supernatural wisdom for your situation is available to you today. So let's get stuck into what I think we need to be looking at today. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says this: those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Mindset on what the flesh desires, or mindset on what the Spirit desires. Very recently in our Logos Bible School, Dave, who runs it, explained to us that in this context, when the Bible uses the word flesh, it's not talking about muscle or skin, it's talking about the sinful nature. So there's a contrast in this verse between having your mind set on your sinful nature, the things that you really want, the desires inside of our hearts that we know that aren't good, or having your mind set on what the Spirit wants. And I thought I'd use an Old Testament story to help illustrate this point a little bit. You may have heard of the story of Naaman the leper. He was a great military commander who was very successful in many avenues of his life, except this one area. He was a leper. His body was covered in leprosy, and in those days, that was a death sentence. So he gets sent to Israel to the prophet Elisha, and the prophet Elijah tells him to go to the River Jordan and to wash himself 7 times, and he would be well. He refuses initially because he says, you know, the rivers in my country are way better than the rivers in your country. But the people with him clearly have a conversation, tell him to get over himself, and he eventually does this. And as he does this, as he comes out of the water, he is completely and utterly healed. He's so grateful and so thankful that God has healed him. He wants to respond in some way, which is always the case when we see God do something in us. It kind of urges us, it kind of draws this gratitude from us. And he wants to show his gratitude and appreciation in some way. And so he offers to give Elisha some money, some silver and some clothes and some of the stuff that his entourage was carrying around. But Elisha refuses. And then Naaman goes back to his country, or he heads back to his country. You may be familiar with that story. But right at the end of that story, something else happens that is interesting to me. Because Elisha's servant, Gehazi, he sees all of this happening. He will have traveled with Elisha. He will have seen lots of other miracles take place. He will have listened to the things that Elisha taught as far as God is concerned. And he sees this incredible miracle take place. But he also sees the fact that Naaman had offered to give Elisha some recompense. And he thinks to himself, Elisha's made the mistake here. And actually, he says to himself, I'm going to go and get me some of this. And so he goes after Naaman, and he catches up with Naaman and his entourage, and he says, hey, sorry to interrupt you, sorry to do this, but two people have just arrived to visit my master Elisha, and he says, can he have some silver and can he have some clothes so that he can give it to them and be a blessing to them? Naaman is more than happy to do this because, remember, he offered to give a gift anyway. And so he says, hey, instead of taking one bag of silver, take two bags of silver, take these clothes and be blessed. And so Gehazi gathers all this stuff. I did a little research and the silver would have been worth about 30,000 pounds. So this is not a small amount of money. So he gathers this stuff and he takes it back and he hides it. And then he goes back to Elisha. Elisha asks him where he's been. He lies about it. And then Elisha says, I know where you were. And I know what you've done. And because of that, you will have the same thing that Naaman had. And your descendants as well. And from that moment, the Bible says that Gehazi was covered in leprosy. And that he left Elisha's presence. Now, there's a few things that happen here. The first thing is that Gehazi sees the stuff and he wants the stuff for himself. He sees it and he wants it for himself. You know, the passage says, who have minds set on the flesh, desire the things of the flesh. So he saw all this stuff. He thought, Elisha, you're missing out here. I'm going to have some of this stuff. And so because he decided that he wanted to have it, because his mind was set on the desires of the flesh, there is a degradation in his level of morality. We can see the things that he does. He compromises in his heart. He goes to Naaman. He lies. He lies about the fact that two people have arrived and that Elisha has sent him. He misrepresents Elisha. He misrepresents God in some ways because he's misrepresenting Elisha to Naaman. And remember, Naaman is respecting and honoring what had happened through Elisha as far as God was concerned. So he does that, then he hides the stuff when he gets it, and then he lies to Elisha when Elisha asks him the question. So that there are all of these things happening. And then the consequences of his actions are that he destroys his relationship with Elisha. He no longer is part of Elisha's circle. He doesn't serve him anymore. He's not his personal assistant anymore. So he destroys that relationship. The trust is broken. He's covered in disease, and that's something that he will pass down to his descendants because of what he did. And this is just my thought. I'll throw this out. Remember that Elisha was the servant of Elijah. And then when Elijah finished his earthly ministry, Elisha took over. So it is likely, I'm just making an assumption here, it is likely that Gehazi could have continued on after Elisha and being the next guy, the next prophet. But he blew it. He blew his destiny. And in fact, the next time we see Gehazi, he sat in the king's court recounting stories of Elisha. He's in a position where all he's able to do is tell stories about other people. Now, where did all of this go wrong? Why did all of this happen? It's Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. His mind was set on what he wanted, and it had consequences for him. What is your mind set on today? What is your mind set on today? Now, Paul, who wrote this letter to the Romans, later on in the same chapter, in Romans chapter 8, he says, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says this, and this may be familiar to you. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does it look like to be transformed? What does that mean? Well, the word transformed there, the word that is used in this passage of scripture to explain transformation, that word is used in two other places in the New Testament. It's used in Matthew and Mark to explain the same thing, and it's also used later on, and we will look at it later on. In Matthew and Mark, it's used to explain an incident that happened with Jesus and his disciples. The Bible says that Jesus and his disciples were on a mountain, and then the word is translated a little bit differently, but it's the same word. It says Jesus was transfigured. It's the same word. So Paul is saying, I want you to be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. The disciples, when they saw Jesus, when he was transfigured, the disciples described it as his face shone like the sun and his clothes were as white as light. There was a visible difference in Jesus at that moment when he was transfigured. And the Apostle Paul is saying to us, I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how do we renew our minds? What do we try to think better? Do we just concentrate on having positive thoughts? Is that what this is about? Well, no, it isn't. Because as you and I well know, we can try as hard as we like to think in a particular way. But sometimes it is beyond our ability to have our thoughts rearranged in the way that we want to have them, to stop ourselves from thinking things that we don't want to think and to just focus on the things that we do want to think about. It's difficult. And I would say it's impossible. But there's help. There's hope. Because that verse that says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the word renew is only used in one other place in the New Testament. One other place. And it is in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. It says this. He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Renewal by the Holy Spirit. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of our minds, the renewal of who we are, that is done by the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul didn't say, sit back and relax and let the Holy Spirit do all the work. You don't have to do anything. He says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And while there is a sense that the Holy Spirit does the renewing in us, there is a responsibility that we have to respond in some way to ensure that that renewal takes place. We have to put ourselves in a place where the Holy Spirit can continue to renew us, to renew our thinking, to renew our minds, so that we can be people who have our minds set on what the Spirit desires, rather than having our minds set on what the flesh desires. The other place where that word transform is used is going to help us because it kind of sets in place some things that we can do to help ourselves ensure that we're in a position to allow the Holy Spirit to renew us, to continue to work in us, to bring us to that place of having a renewed mind so that we can be transformed. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, and we all, who with unveiled faces reflect, or some versions it says, contemplate the Lord's glory, and are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, or from glory to glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It talks about unveiled faces, and that refers to the incident with Moses in the Old Testament where he had an encounter with God and his face would glow and he would put a veil on his face. And we understand that it was because he didn't want people to see that the glow was fading. But here the Apostle Paul is saying when we stand before God, we don't have to cover our faces. We can stand before him with unveiled faces and we can reflect his glory. As we gaze upon his glory, we can reflect his glory and we are being transformed by the Holy Spirit. From glory to glory. So back to our original verse. Romans chapter 8 verse 5 says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. How do we ensure that our minds are set on what the Spirit desires? We need to live according to the Spirit. But there are three quick things that I want to leave you with that I believe will help us to ensure that we're in a place where we can allow the Holy Spirit to do his work of renewal in us. The first thing is we can seek after him. Seek after him. You see, the weather is a bit crazy at the moment. And some days there's a thunderstorm, some days it's raining, but some days it's glorious sunny weather. I love glorious sunny weather. And what I like to do if I wake up in the morning and come downstairs, I look outside and I see the sun is out, I like to go into my garden and first thing, turn my face to the sun. I turn my face to the sun. I love to feel it on my face. And this is one of the ways that we can ensure that we're in a place where the Holy Spirit can do his work of renewal in us. We turn our faces to him. We turn our face to the Son. We seek after him. We say, Holy Spirit, I'm longing after you. I'm looking for you. You know when you may have had this situation where you need to go somewhere and you can't find your car keys anywhere. And then it becomes the most urgent thing in life to find your car keys. And they're not in your coat pocket, they're not in your trouser pocket, they're not where you normally leave them. So you assume someone else has moved them. So you have a discussion with that person that might be quite loud. And then you blame them of all sorts of things. And then all sorts of things come back from the past. This has never happened. I'm just imagining that this might be the case. But you spend a lot of time trying to find the thing that you have lost, because it is important, it is urgent for that moment. But the Holy Spirit isn't lost. But imagine if we looked for him, if we sought after him with that level of intensity, with that level of, I really need to have a sense that you are here in this moment so that you can do your work of renewal in me. We seek after him. Second thing is we exalt him. The Bible uses the word exalt in many different places. And usually it is to do with lifting the name of Jesus high, with lifting God high, with praising him. And so we do that because what that does is it elevates our thoughts from the things that surround us, from our circumstances, from our situations, from the problems that we have, from the worries that we have. It elevates our thinking from our earthly issues and puts our attention on our Father. We worship him, not because of the things that he has done, but because of who he is. We exalt him, we lift him up. You know, you may have had this experience when you were a child, or maybe with children, when you want them to see over a crowd, and you lift them up and you put them on your shoulders. It helps them to see further than you can, but what you're doing is you're saying, I am preferring you at this moment so that you can see what I can't see. I'm lifting you up, I'm preferring you. And that's what we do. We exalt him. We lift him up. We're saying, I'm placing you higher than I place myself. And finally, one of the things I like and I'm going to miss this year is the Olympics. I love athletics. I love watching particularly the relay race. That is always fascinating to me because you never know what can happen. Even if the team is the best team in the world, just one person needs to make one mistake, drop the baton once, and it's all over. So it's very exciting. But if you see any of the long distance races before they start, they all come up to the line and they all make sure that their toes are behind the line. And people believe that's where this phrase comes from, to toe the line. And that's my third point. We need to toe the line. We need to get to that place where we're expecting that something is about to happen. We get to the place where we're ready to respond when that starting pistol goes off. We get to the place where we're saying, I'm going to do what I need to do, but I'm going to wait for you to speak. I'm going to wait for that moment before I go forward and do the things that I know I should do. We toe the line. And in recent years, in current vernacular, the phrase toe the line can also mean you give in to somebody else's desires. You give in to somebody else's opinion, somebody else's way of thinking. You do what somebody else wants you to do rather than what you want to do. And there is that sense that as the Holy Spirit comes and renews us, that we respond to him and we do what he wants us to do rather than the things that we want to do. So we seek after him, we exalt him, and when he speaks to us, we toe the line. The Holy Spirit wants to and does renew us. And there is a responsibility that we have to make sure that we're in a position to allow him to do that in us. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Holy Spirit, I ask that you will cause us to have minds that are set on what you want. That we will allow you to come and to renew us, to continue to renew us. That as we gaze upon your face, Jesus, as we look to you, as we seek you in your word, as we seek you in our prayer time, as we seek you in our worship, that we will see you. And then as we see you, as we see who you are, that you will continue to change us from glory to glory, that we will reflect who you are to people around us. Help us to seek after you. Help us to exalt you in every aspect of our lives. And help us to toe the line, to respond appropriately to you. In your name, amen.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Keep up to date with everything that's happening by checking out our website, Life Church Warrington.